Hello and welcome to episode number 3 of the Raw and Uncovered podcast, season 2 of the podcast. I almost called it what my previous podcast was called. Luckily, I didn't. Raw and Uncovered, we're back with episode 3. Thank you so much to all of you who have been listening so far to this new season. I've actually been pleasantly surprised by the listening numbers. It kind of walked around a little bit chuffed, a little bit happy after I saw those. I thought people had just given up on my podcast, and I left it so long since the first season that, you know, people thought, you know what, I'm not going to give this guy the time of day. So I really appreciate you tuning in and listening, and thank you so much for all your wonderful feedback so far. Today's episode is very much about little things. Well, actually, I don't know if they'll be little or big, depending how you look at it, but things that we all are probably guilty of. I know I'm absolutely guilty of a lot of the things that I'm going to be talking about that can ruin your life. And it's very much looking at things from the other side of the... Why did I just have this in truth of thought? I was about to say other side of the tennis court. I was trying to think of what the phrase was. Other side of the line, other side of the fence. I just, my brain just went tennis court. I was like, no, I can't say that, but I did. Other side of the fence, where we very much like to be a productive person and to, you know, live a good life and yada, yada, yada. It's all about forming good habits, right? But we often forget that actually the bad habits can sabotage all the positive, proactive things that we're doing. And sometimes actually looking at the bad habits and the behaviors that we do that are actually probably detrimental to our life. Detrimental is a bit of an extreme word, but maybe over time, you know, we don't even realize we're doing them again and again and again. They can be detrimental, right? Actually eliminating those and focusing our energy on that can be just as, if not even more productive, right? And in the world we live in today, everyone is always banging on about habits that are going to improve your life. You see it every day. Hey, even I talk about forming new habits, forming good habits a lot of the time. Why? Because good habits are, there's no doubt about it, they are the bedrock to succeeding in life. And when I mean succeeding, I mean making progress, being productive, staying true to our word. And the beauty of habits is once they are formed, they become second nature. You don't even have to think about a habit when it's formed. Or if you do, you're still doing whatever that thing may be anyway, regardless of how you feel, right? And the whole point of the word self-discipline is you do things regardless of how you feel. That's how you make headway. And actually, ironically, at the time, you might not feel like doing something, but if you do it anyway, you end up feeling much better afterwards. And good habits might be things like making your bed in the morning, going to sleep on time, going to the gym, going for a daily walk, telling your partner that you love them every day. It can be anything, but when contributing positively to your life and when done repeatedly, they can really improve your life quite considerably, right? But we do often forget about the flip side, the habits that can ruin our life. And like I said, I can hold my hands up and say I have some bad habits. I used to have a lot, I've eliminated some. But everyone does. No one is perfect. And the goal isn't to live a perfect life. It kind of frustrates me because a lot of what we see on the internet and on social media is all about how to live, you know, the most perfect life and do this and do that. And these bad habits might not be things you do all the time. They might things, you know, might be things you do every now and again. And actually, if they are done every now and again, that's probably okay. But for the majority of us, these habits can be pretty regular and they creep into our life and don't contribute positively to it. And life, I've come to realize, it's all about just making it a positive sum game. There are so many positives we all have in our life. And treading on the side of gratitude for a second, for example, you're all listening to this on some kind of high-tech device, right? On a mobile phone or in your car that you get to drive to take you from A to B, or on a laptop or computer that you get to use to work and earn a living on. You know, the goal in life is not to work around trying to be perfect or accomplish everything. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. And I've been guilty of this fairly recently, actually, like trying to do everything that's good for me or what other people say is good for us. So as an example, like the perfect day, waking up at 5:30 a.m., going for a sauna, going for a cold plunge, meditating, then working super hard all day, training super hard in the gym, then simultaneously being a great son to my parents, a great brother to my siblings, a great partner to my fiance, a great friend to my friends, inspiring people on my social media and in my day-to-day life, getting 8 hours of sleep, reading my book, writing down my goals before I go to bed, blah, 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 blah. And I do a lot of those things, but like I kind of group them together. And the issue that I was having is, and when I came to realize is, it's impossible to do everything all the time. The goal is not to do everything all the time. I tried that for a period of time and I was always left deflated or disappointed in some kind of way because one day I didn't do one of these things. Like one day, you know, life happened and I didn't cold plunge. Heaven forbid I didn't cold plunge. God, James, honestly, that's what was in my head. I was like, oh, you didn't cold plunge this morning, you pussy. Get in there. And I was like, no, I don't fancy it. I don't want to do it. I do it all the time and I'm going to be all right if I don't do it. Or I didn't get all the work done I wanted to get done. To-do lists, you're always going to have a to-do list every day. You can tick off everything on your to-do list. There's always going to be something to do the next day. And so I stopped trying to do everything on my to-do list and I just accepted, right, this is the finite amount of time I have today. What do I prioritize? Get those done. The rest, we can wait. Do it tomorrow, whenever. You know, like some nights I stayed up for an extra 30 minutes and to finish an episode of Billions. What a show that is, by the way. And I would wake up feeling a bit guilty the next morning that I wasn't up at the crack of dawn in my routine again, up at 5:30 on the dot, into the sauna, into the cold plunge. It's crazy, man. We don't need to be doing all this fluffy stuff all the time, despite what the internet and other people are telling us. And look, I have been guilty of not like pushing that on people, but, you know, talking about the importance of a routine. And I think routines are incredibly important, but I also think it's really important to be able to not do your routine and still be okay and still have a good day. I went through a period of not ticking off these things with my routine and then thinking that because I haven't started my day like that, my whole day's ruined. And it really wound me up. And I just had to step back and just check myself. I said, James, what are you playing at, man? Just because you didn't sauna an ice bath or just because you didn't journal or meditate doesn't mean you've had a bad start to the day. Gosh, sometimes, you know, even like at the moment, sometimes I'll wake up at 6:30 and get an extra hour sleep if I've gone to bed a little bit later because I've watched a bit of Netflix. And I feel great because I don't put that all like constant pressure on myself. Sometimes I don't journal. It might go days where I don't. Other days, instead of working, I go and hang out with my neighbors or go see a friend for lunch. Heaven forbid, I'm not grinding all the time. Like we're ingrained to do these days. And I've come to realize that life is so much better when you do what needs to get done. Just prioritize what needs to get done, what's actually important. And you just try and do your best to do the other things that can have a positive impact in your life, but they're not like highly, highly necessary. You know, I think having a routine is great, but then, you know, if you've got a 2-hour morning routine and then you're complaining that you don't have enough time to finish off your work for the day, then maybe you shouldn't be doing your morning routine for 2 hours. I know that might bring you a great deal of peace, but maybe just do that morning routine, you know, 3 times a week. And on the other days, just wake up and get cracking with work, because that's probably going to make you feel better in the long run, you know? And you do just have to play around, but I've decided that it's much more important to just be a bit more flexible and a bit more malleable with stuff like this. And don't just go off what other people are doing just because it works for them. You know, find your thing. Find the thing that works for you. I mean, keep that element of self-discipline, of course, and keep doing things that are good for you, but, you know, allow that flexibility. And look, all these little bits in between the important stuff are contributing. They're there as contributors to make our lives a positive someplace. And if you do a couple of positives in there, if you throw a couple of positives in there every day, you're doing good. You're doing good. And if some days you slip up, or some days you don't do one of them, or it doesn't go to plan, or you don't make time to listen to that incredibly informative podcast by James Middleton, that's cool. Just listen to it another day. Pick another day. There will be another day, hopefully. God forbid, there's always another day. Not always, because we all die, right? But you know what I mean. Anyway, this is bringing me on to the fact that actually, we also don't always need to be doing doing, to be making progress or leading a fulfilling life. You know, sometimes it's much easier actually to do less. The whole less is more. And just to eliminate the bad stuff and remove those from our lives. In fact, sometimes it's much easier to do that than persist with new habits. I quite often, so with my Coach James Club clients, I quite often get them to tell me about their bad habits before they join, as well as understand, you know, what new ones they're trying to form, because that's, you know, of course important. But I actually focus quite a lot on the bad habits, because when we spend time and energy on eliminating those that are kind of actually pulling them back in life, that also works too. It's not always just about taking the horse that pulls you forward. Sometimes it's about fucking taking off the luggage. Sorry, I swore there. I shouldn't have. I apologize. But you know me. Sometimes I'm going to be a human being and swear. I've been hanging out with Shannon too much. She swears all the time. I think Americans, it's quite common for Americans to swear, I've noticed, more so than Brits. Anyway, I digress. I said a little swear word. Oops. So instead of just constantly, you know, trying to get more horses to pull you forward, just take a bit of the luggage off the cart at the back. Make you a bit lighter. You'll go just as fast. You know, it's important that you have that perspective as well. So I spend a lot of time with clients trying to help them break free of those shackles that might actually have put them in this place in the first place where they're trying to get help. And it works. It really works. Removing the shackles can actually be an easier step to take than constantly searching for that next mountain to climb. And often make it easier to climb the mountain with fewer shackles on. God, that's a great metaphor. Did you get that? I enjoyed that. Really painted that picture well. So what are these bad habits then? And I'm gonna run through seven of the most common, I would say, bad habits that I personally feel are often prevalent and relatable to people's lives. So I'm hoping these will be relatable for you. But B, I've also taken the most common bad habits from my clients over the past couple of months, because it's been a big focus for me. So these are actually bad habits I hear people doing a lot of the time that they wish or are trying to remove/reduce. Okay, so I'm going to do no particular order. And we're going to start with drinking alcohol. All right, don't get off the podcast. Keep listening. I promise I'm not going to bash it and say you can't drink and piss on your parade. I promise. But it is just something that has come up again and again and again and again with people. And I feel like it's by far the most popular one that people are trying to reduce or get rid of, which I think is a positive thing, right? We all know that alcohol is one of the worst toxins you can put in your body. And I'm not going to sit here on my high horse pretending that I'm better than you because I barely drink, because I bloody love a glass of Barolo, okay? Nice little red wine. Ooh, so good with a little steak. It literally, just sends me on a mad one. And I do it rarely, because that means when I do it, it is even better. You know, or even a good glass of Negroni. That tickles me. It just hits the spot, you know? But for those of you who have been listening to this podcast for a while or follow me on social media will know I've considerably reduced my intake of alcohol, because I've spent, I won't go into a great amount of detail, but I've literally spent probably up to 12 to 15 years of my life drinking an excessive amount of alcohol. I mean, I started drinking when I was 12. 12 years old, I was drinking beers, like sneaking beers. And then I went to this school, boarding school, where you go away and you're away from your parents each week, and you know, you're with your mates and you've got the older boys, 18-year-olds, selling you beers. I was paying like $5 for one beer, like at 13 years old. I'd have 3-4 beers. I'd be battered at 13 years old. I've been doing that since I was 13. Decided to kind of rein it in 28 years old. So that's a good old stint. All right, I've done my time with alcohol, so I'm just not interested in using it in that kind of way anymore. And I say now, probably have 1 to 2 drinks a month, honestly. And that's good for me. I like it. It's a nice little, you know, whatever, a little celebration. But for me, there are so many downsides to it versus the upsides, okay, that it made zero sense to me to continue doing and drinking what I was doing, especially at this time of my life now where I just value other things. And I was someone who became anxious after a night of drinking. You know, for generally like a good 2-3 days after. Some people don't, but I did. And the science actually proves that stress levels are noticeably higher like base level stress is notably higher in people even after 4 or 5 days after drinking. So that checks out, okay? It ruined my sleep. I wasn't training as well. I ate terribly after. I was moody. And my life has become infinitely better without featuring it in my life. But that's just me. And this whole thing, you know, this whole thing, life is about like finding what works for you and finding that balance. And yes, it's a bad habit for a lot of people. You know, a stressful day at work. And hey, you listening to this, you might relate. A stressful day at work. Oh, honey, I need a drink. And this is slightly sad because people don't know it makes you more stressed. When you go, oh, I'm so stressed, I need a drink. That makes you more stressed. Anyway, stressful day, I need a drink. Great day at work. Honey, pop open the vino. Let's have a little drink. Cooking at home. Oh, God, a nice little glass of white when I'm cooking would be great. Or maybe you're home alone. Oh, God, I'm bored. I need a drink. So if you're someone who drinks a lot, and a lot is more than like 5 to 6 drinks per week, okay, then I just really consider reducing it. And I'm not trying to like preach onto you. The benefits are just astounding. Even if you just reduce it to like 1-2 drinks per week, find something else to drink instead. Often it's about trying to replace that need for that alcoholic drink with something else. There are so many non-alcoholic options out there now. It's insane. From beers to spirits, and they're good. They're good. They used to be atrocious. Oh my God. I remember drinking non-alcoholic beer about 5 years ago. It tasted like cat piss. I couldn't believe it. But now I can't tell the difference. I really can't. And like I said, there's so many options. Even if you try it for just 2 weeks, your life will become better. I guarantee you it. Even if it's just one thing that improves, like your sleep. And if you still need a buzz when you go out, just have a couple. Just have a couple. I know often when you have one or two and then your little voice in your head is like, oh, here we go. Let's freaking get on the train and send it. I understand. Trust me, because I was doing that for 15 years of my life. But, you know, 1 to 2. And again, look, it's entirely up to you. But I've come out the other side now and I just, yeah, everything's better. And look, if you want to go down another route, all right, and this is off the record, if you want to go down another route, look into maybe, I don't know, bit of mushrooms. I've been doing my research on mushrooms. I'm not declaring that I do them. I have done them, and they are, all I'm saying is 10 times better than, you know, than in my opinion, alcohol, because you basically get the same buzz as you do with alcohol. It's a bit different, but you're fully sober. Like, you don't drink on mushrooms. You just smash a load of water because it does dehydrate you, but it's insane. And you're just fully sober, fully with it, but just a little tingly. It's amazing. Done it a few times and couldn't recommend it more. Obviously, it's illegal still, I think. So, you know, maybe don't go around telling people that I've been telling you this. This is our little secret. But just have a little look into it, yeah? It's opened up my eyes a little bit. And I'm telling you this, in 10 years' time, everyone will be doing mushrooms instead of drinking alcohol. Or there will be a huge switch from doing microdosing of mushrooms to drinking alcohol. I'm telling you that. I know that for a fact. I know a couple of guys who work in the industry and they're like, it's going to blow up, James. We're just waiting for all the regulations. La, 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 la. Anyway, so bad habit number one. Try and reduce your alcohol intake. These aren't all like super health related, by the way. Okay, let's get on to bad habit number two. Sitting. Well, actually, are they? Yeah, they're kind of health related, but in their own little rights, okay? Bad habit number two, sitting at desks. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Trust me, I do, because I sit down at my desk and I churn out work for long periods of time. But listen to this, okay? Our ancestors would average 16 to 17,000 steps a day. Now, when I first moved to the US, I was doing about 2 to 3,000 steps a day. I was mortified. I'd gone from being in London, and naturally in a busy city, it's much easier, being in London to doing easy 10 to 15K steps, like a day on average, to here. I didn't need to walk anywhere. I don't. And now in our society, 20 minutes of walking is considered exercise. It never used to be. Walking was just, well, it's just walking. Like, I have to now go out morning, lunchtime and evening and walk around my neighborhood a few times to get 7 to 8,000 steps in. If I don't do that, 1 to 2,000 steps maybe at a push, and that's probably just me doing laps in the gym trying to find equipment. It's easy here not to walk, so I can see why people don't, because it's just not designed for walking, especially where I am. When you're out in the sticks a little bit and you've got these big roads and you just drive everywhere. I've even bloody got a walking pad. We've got a walking pad now. I was looking at those thinking, those saddos buying those walking pads, can they not just go outside and get some fresh air? No, I get it. I get it. I can now walk in my house whilst taking phone calls without necessarily going outside, because, you know, sometimes you lose signal outside, especially again where we are out and about and the signal's not great. I need to stay inside. So now I'll just get on my walking pad. It's brilliant. It's the only way, but it's about finding a way and just not accepting that you are going to sit down all day. We were not designed to sit in a car or on a train on a commute to work to then sit at a desk for 8 hours and then go home and sit on the sofa for a further 3 hours and then get into bed. We were just not. It's so bad for our health. And if you want your brain and body to work better, you need to get up from your desk and move. You just do. Whether you buy a walking pad or you just stand up every 30 minutes. I read this study that this group of people every 30 minutes stood up and did a minute of half squats. Every 30 minutes, 1 minute, not even full squats, half squats, right? And their health improved significantly. They had better concentration. Their heart health improved. Even their cardiovascular health improved like a tiny bit. But still, you know, a little bit every day, that's all you need. And it's enough to keep your body ticking over and your muscles working and the blood pumping. And if you can't do that, well, quite frankly, you're lazy, all right? So let's start getting up and doing some half squats. You can tell people that I told you to say that. Get your whole office doing it. Get them involved. Just what are you doing, man? Just some half squats. Just for a minute. Keep me going. People will catch on and they'll love it. They'll love the way it makes them feel. All right, bad habit numero tres. Number three, it kind of coincides with the previous bad habit of sitting down all day. But it's another huge issue and a big problem in our world today that's causing, you know, a lot of illness, at least like instigating a lot of illness. It's sitting under artificial blue lights all day. And in fact, it's actually a major cause of depression, sitting inside and not getting enough sun on your body and being in nature. And I don't think it's a coincidence that depression rates have gone, you know, through the roof now, where people don't have to leave their houses. They can go on social media, they can order food to their house. They literally don't have to go outside at all. That is not a coincidence. It absolutely is, because more people are spending too much time inside. And I bang on about this a lot because nature is literally in the palm of our hands. It's everywhere. Unless maybe you live in New York, but even if you live in New York or a big city, you've got bloody Central Park. There's trees there. It's just about finding a way, and it's always available to us, and it's free. That is the best thing about nature. It's free, and it is the number one thing that can help with your health. So being outside is just a very simple way to look after yourself. And I have people message me all the time, oh yeah, but James, I get into work at 7 a.m and leave at 7 p.m and I just think, like, so you're telling me that you can't step outside your office for 20 or 30 minutes at lunch to walk around outside? I don't care if you're walking around in circles, just, or even standing still, just get outside into some fresh air. It's nonsense that you can't. Unless you're bloody working in a sweatshop in China, you can absolutely get outside at some point in your day. You just don't think about it, or perhaps you don't care enough to do it or want it. But I'm telling you this, like, from the studies that I've read, living under these fake lights 24/7 is destroying our health. And you might not feel it, and in fact we often don't feel it, but it is. It's just eventually it's just chipping away at you know, ruining your body, because our bodies thrive under natural light and in nature. That's how we were designed to be. And we all know that a lack of sunlight is detrimental to us. Low vitamin D levels can be hugely harmful and be the cause of a lot of illnesses that we receive. And people underestimate the power of just taking a break and going outside. Even like 10 minutes if you can. Just any time outside is good. Just think of it like that. And if you can do more, great. But if not, just aim for the bare minimum. That's all you need to do, just the bare minimum daily. That will add up, that stacks up into actually having quite considerable you know, quite considerable positives to your health. I mean, think of it like a plant, right? And I've killed a lot of plants in my time and I know exactly what I've done. If you keep a plant in the basement with no light at all, it's going to die eventually. You might not see it immediately, but it slowly starts to die. It, you know, it might take a while, one leaf, two leaf, but it eventually falls off and done, bomb. But if you just give it 20 minutes of sunlight a day, and it will be okay. It, you know, it won't be the healthiest plant on earth if you still keep it in the basement and bring it up for sunlight, but it will still do okay. It's the same with you. 20 minutes of being outside in the sunlight will keep you ticking. And if you really want to fully maximize nature and the sun, morning and evening sun for the win, okay? Morning and evening sun for 20 minutes a day, and then just go for a walk at some point in your day. I know, like, everyone can do it. They just choose not to. You know, we all have a choice. Make that choice. I'm not telling you to walk 10, 15,000 steps like all these lunatics online. You can do 5,000, 6,000, whatever you can. Just get outside, okay? Right, number four on the bad habit list, on the naughty list, being late. Yes. I honestly think this is one of the worst habits of all. If you are one of those people who is always late, and we all know someone in our life who is always late, yeah, it might be you. You know, you're probably thinking, yeah, oh, I know, oh, yeah, they're always late. That person's probably saying the same thing about you. But if it is you, sort it out. It's not good enough. It's a sign of not being dependable. And in my opinion, it shows a huge lack of respect for whoever is waiting on the other side. And people don't think about it, but it just shows you can't manage your time. And it's, as I think, worst of all, actually, it's a signal to others that your time is more important than theirs. And often, maybe you're one of these, often procrastinators are late, or people who think they can continue doing, oh, just one more thing before I leave. Oh, let me just do this one more thing before I leave, thinking that it's going to make them more productive. It's not. You're not achieving anything. You're just turning up, you're being late, and it's rude. Do whatever you need to do after, wherever you need to be. Because what's far more important is the person on the other side who is waiting for you or in a commitment to spending that time with you to be, you know, there on time. They're making that commitment. If they're late, well, now you know that they don't respect your time as much as theirs. And you think that they're a prat for that. And look, I know sometimes we simply cannot help being late. And from time to time, it's okay. Everyone is late from time to time. I'm late from time to time. It happens. Once in a while, it's all right. But it's when it becomes a regular thing. You do not want to be the person that is always late, okay? It's such a simple one to not do and just to eliminate as a bad habit. Cool. Number five. Okay, this one, I think I've actually only really started to pay attention to this one recently when I found myself, well, I'll tell you what it is, first of all. So not allowing yourself to be bored. Okay, now hear me out here. This is what I've realized recently, especially with myself, because I was terrible at this. We've become a generation where we can't sit with ourselves and do nothing. And I think I mentioned this on the last episode, but if you look around, you next time you're in a crowd or you're in a queue waiting for something, I bet that there's maybe one person, and that person is probably from the older generation, is sitting there doing nothing, just thinking, sitting there thinking. The airport is a classic example, actually, waiting to board the plane. Just have a little look around and just see how many people are actually just sitting in their own company and thinking. We always, always have to occupy ourselves. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like you should always be sitting there staring into space thinking of nothing. No, of course, like sometimes we do have stuff to crack on with. I fully get that. But it's this thing of like any moment we have where we're waiting for something, we have to be like reaching for our phone or scrolling or checking emails or doing something to fill the space, listening to a song. Like it's crazy. And the funniest thing is when, you know, when you're on the plane right, and you've exhausted everything. You've read a bit of your book, you've had a scroll on social media, whatever you've been doing on the plane, right? This is when you know you've hit rock bottom. You get out the old camera roll and you start going through photos. That is when you know you are bored and you are in, and you are just desperate to keep your mind occupied. Come on. And look, I've been guilty of this. I have, and I can say this because I've done it, but like, it's just, it's so important in that moment just to be bored sometimes. You know, not all the time, but just sometimes, every now and again, just choose to sit and just think. Our minds are always, well, they're already so overstimulated, and being bored is actually, it contributes to helping how we think and to see things more clearly. It's also a great gateway to creativity. For those of you who are creatives and are, you know, needing to come up with things, be bored more often. People who are constantly occupying their minds are just running their brain cells into the ground. Like, just, they're completely dead. So they never have that brain capacity to actually think about anything creative. Perhaps even change something in their life, or just think about something that's going on that they should be spending more time on, but they're not. They never have that opportunity to just take a step back from it all and look at their life from a bird's eye view and just, you know, take a look and think, oh, actually, I'd start to do this. You know, we never have any thinking time anymore. It's just do. We never let our minds wander, and I think it's a little sad. It's also very healthy to do so. And like I said, I'm no saint. I recently realized this, that I was finding myself, every time I had a bit of spare time, I was in this mindset of like, oh, you've got to check your DMs, or you've got to reply to this email, or you've got to be doing something to be productive. And that was just my ego saying, hey, like, what's going on? We're not busy. We're not doing something. You're lazy. What's going on? You're falling behind. But no, like, just now sometimes I truly, truly appreciate sitting there doing nothing. And I love it, but you have to voluntarily make yourself do that. Otherwise, I promise you, you'll just pick up your phone and you'll just occupy yourself. And it's crazy. Even just like reading books is great, but you're still occupying your mind. Just sit and just do nothing and just see how it makes you feel. I'm sure you won't like it at the start. I definitely didn't, but just know it's good for you, and it's helping you become more in touch with yourself. Sorry, this picture. Ooh, this picture of Shannon and I, don't know if that's a sign, has just randomly fallen out of its frame. That could have been a catastrophe. Glass everywhere. I saved it. Right, here we are. So what have we done? Number five. Okay. Number six. Right, two more. Okay. You still with me? Good. Number six. I mean, these are all important, but this one is major key. And I know a lot of you will be nodding your head going, amen, amen. Being around bad energy people. Now, I actually think this can have the biggest impact on us out of all of these, both mentally and physically. I might be wrong here, but I have found the older I've become, the more I want to only be around good energy people. And I feel like that's kind of the same with a lot of people, at least people who I've spoken to about this. And some people will call that selfish. But to be honest, if that's what it takes to protect my mental state and thrive, I'll take selfish every single day. I don't care. And I think being selfish is sometimes a very good thing. And more of us need to be more selfish at times and protect ourselves. But there's a saying that you are the average of the five people you hang around most with, right? If you are hanging out with people who complain all the time, moan about life, constantly talk about other people and natter about other people in a negative way, or are jealous or bitter or resentful, you need to remove yourself from that environment. You need to take yourself away from those people. It's contagious, and it will only cause you to follow suit and live a life that is far beyond ideal. That is no way to be spending your life. And I know it's difficult when it's a toxic family member or members you simply don't align with or get on with. I know it's difficult when it's family. And for example, you know, big family get-togethers, you got to just suck it up and you just got to be around them, and, you know, you don't have to be around them all the time, but just sometimes you do. And look, it doesn't matter. I think outside of that, though, it doesn't matter if it's your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. If they are preventing you from growing and fully being yourself and being truly happy, and they're not supporting you and they're trying to make your life more difficult, then you need to distance yourself. It's a bitter pill. It's a bitter pill to swallow, because we will always have unconditional love for family. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA. But sometimes we have to cut off the things we love in order to protect ourselves. Sometimes we love the most. It could be a toxic partner. It could be a toxic relationship you've been in for years and years and years. But if it is doing more damage than good and it is pulling you down, you have to cut it off. Because at the end of the day, you are the most important thing. Your peace of mind and happiness is the most important thing. Because without it, if your peace of mind, you know, some people go, well, actually, no, surely it's, you know, those around you. But if you're not happy yourself, if you don't have a peace of mind and you're not looking after yourself, how are you going to help other people? You can't help other people if you're not helping yourself. It doesn't work. You can't help anyone in this world unless you help yourself first and you prioritize yourself. That's why, to me, like, health is so important. Health is the number one thing in this world. If you are not healthy, how are you going to live and grow old and look after your kids and your grandkids and stuff if you're not even looking after yourself? Like, yourself comes first. It's the most important thing. Then you can help others around you and help them in a much better way. And with this, like, in order to grow, you have to be ruthless with it. You have to eliminate people who aren't in line with your visions and values. I don't mean cut off people who aren't in the same path as you or have the same drive, because look, we all have friends who we like to hang out with because it's just easy and chill. You know, you get those people where, you know, they might not be particularly motivated, but they're just cool, fun people to be around. They're just chill. You just have a good time. Those are also important relationships, right? I'm not saying you need to get rid of all of those. But even then, if you're spending time all the time with just people who are chilled and just like to have fun, then they're never going to inspire you or help you achieve amazing things. Like, they don't care. They're chillers. Like, there's a balance. Find people, spend the most time with people who, when you come away from spending time with them, you go, wow, that was stimulating. That connection was truly, truly inspiring. And I've come away, I want to be a better person having hung around that person. Like I said, you don't have to have that all the time. And to be honest, some of you might disagree with me here, and that's cool. But from my perspective, I try to hang out with inspiring, driven, good energy people as much as I can, because I've seen it have a direct positive impact on my life and on my relationships and my mood and my business and everything. And I have also helped those people. It's a two-way thing. The good energy is a two-way thing. It's infectious, but just like the bad energy is. And going back to the elimination of bad habits, keep away the bad energy, protect your inner peace, and try and ride the good vibrations with good energy people as much as possible. Okay, get rid of the negative Nancys in your life. All right, last but not least, reading other people's thoughts about yourself on social media, or in fact, just reading and listening to other people's opinions of you. This has come up a lot with my clients, listening to what other people have been saying about you, or hearing what someone thinks about you. The more you consume other people's thoughts, okay, the more you drown your own. The only opinion that matters in this entire world is the opinion you have of yourself. That is the number one most important opinion, the one you have of yourself. Why do you care what someone else thinks of you? Honestly, why do you care? Especially if it's some random person you've never met. I've been like, I'm saying this because I can speak from experience, especially as someone who is in the public eye and daily puts my life in the public eye. I've been through parts of my life where I cared what other people thought of me. I listened to what other people were saying about my work, about my posts on social media, about my business, and I let that dictate my actions. And I was so unhappy. I could tell I was so unhappy deep down. And I had to work hard on myself to come out of that trap. But when I did, oh my God, did the sky light up when I did. There is always, always going to be someone who doesn't like you. That is life. Always. There is no one walking around on this planet who everyone likes them. There just isn't. And trying to please everyone is a fool's game. And you will always lose. You'll always be left unhappy and unfulfilled. You might as well be unapologetically you. And those who are drawn to you, the real you. And those who aren't, screw them. Who cares? You cannot go through life pleasing everyone. So stop trying. You have to, and it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage, but you have to take the courage to stand up and fully live as the person you are. The person God created, because that is the best person you can be. That is the most that you can give to this world and to this life and to you, yourself, by being you. People love you for being you, not someone else, you. Now, the problem is because of the access we have to the internet and social media, and to so many people's opinions being thrown at us, it's rattling, it's unsettling. On a daily basis, right? On a daily basis, by posting on social media, I put myself out there in the firing line every single day. And it's funny how the brain works, because I'm sure some of you can relate to this as well. When you post something on social media, or it doesn't have to even be social media, you do something, right? And you get 100 positive comments back. Okay, but if one person says something negative, that's where your brain goes. That's where your eyes go. And that's what it remembers. And that's what you pay attention to. And that's normal. Like, that is just normal, right? We're always looking, as humans, we're always looking for threats. And that is a threat. So it's highlighted in our minds. But you have to fight it, and you have to train yourself not to care. Or just take it on board, but don't take it personally. And that is a process. It doesn't just happen overnight, but it is so worth it, and it gives you so much peace in your life. When you can do that and you have this inner peace that nothing external can break, nothing external can break the internal, it's incredible. And actually on this, this just popped into my mind. If you do listen to my podcast and you do enjoy it, please could you give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify? And just leave a really nice glowing review if you can. Only if you genuinely like this podcast, okay? Because there's this sad little pool of the internet that take pleasure in bad-mouthing me and, you know, whatever, trying to, I guess it's called defamation, but yeah, defamate my business. And they've done so on my reviews on my podcast without even listening. So collectively, if you all gave me a positive review, it would drown out those little sad voices, okay? And it would mean the world to me. And I can say this because they don't listen this far to my podcast. They listen to the first snippets, and then that allows them to write a review. So if you're a true podcast listener or a follower of mine, I'd really, really appreciate that. Anyway, back to what I was saying. You have to live life on your terms and be true to your core, and let people love you for that person, and let people dislike you for that person. It is far better this way. I'm telling you from experience, it's far better this way than to try to be someone you're not, to please people who don't even know you, who will likely probably still not like you anyway, but then you're just left out, left acting out of character. You know yourself the best, and that is all that matters, okay? Always, always be unapologetically you. You will attract the right people for it, and those people are the only people that truly matter. To summarize, okay, so that was all 7. Limit alcohol consumption. We want a positive sum life, okay? Alcohol might give you a tiny positive, but it is so momentary and is, in the long run, adding more negatives than positives. Just pick and choose it wisely. Try not to sit down for too long. Desk workers, get up and get squatting, half squatting every 30 minutes. But generally, just try to get up and walk around as much as you can. When you see stairs next to the escalator, take the freaking stairs. You don't realize it, but it will actually help your health a lot. Same with blue lights. Get outside from underneath them and be in nature, and preferably in the sun if you can. Be safe in the sun, of course, but that sunlight, especially early in the morning and evening, will do wonders for you, I promise. Even 20 minutes on your lunch break, standing in one place, just get outside. Don't be late, okay? Do not be late. Stop being late if you are. Make it a big effort to eliminate that bad habit. It's so simple. Make a big effort to be on time. Bonus points for being early. Set your watch to 10 minutes later than its actual time if you have to, okay? I did that for a period of time. I was very early to a lot of meetings, but it was great. And it helped me with this, okay? Be bored. It's good for your mind. It's good for your productivity. It's good for your happiness. Sit there from time to time and just do nothing. On a car journey, if you're driving, just do nothing. Just drive. Or if you're in the passenger seat, sit there, do nothing. Just chill. Enjoy your own company without the need for distraction. Penultimately, get away from bad energy people. They will suck all the joy of life from you. Instead, seek positive, high energy people and relationships. It'll change your entire existence. Finally, do not let other people's opinions of you dictate your actions. We all deep down care what people think. Okay, the goal is not to stop caring as much, but it's to not let those opinions control your life. Acknowledge opinions, but stay true to yourself and keep being you. There we go. Thank you so much for listening. Look after yourselves as always, and I'll see you at the next episode. And PS, please, 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 if you can, leave a 5-star review whenever and wherever you can. Thank you so much. Goodbye.